It's now several hours later, around 10 past seven. I'm now north of the river, northeastern suburbs, in fact, just having finished helping babysit my grandsons. And I'm on Mary Street, actually, at the Mary Crescent Reserve here in the northern suburbs, a rather lovely, lovely spot. Now, the observant among you will have noticed that I've had a top-knot wardrobe malfunction, and that's with proper attribution to Janet Jackson. But the cause was rolling around on the ground playing with my grandsons on the ground, on the floor, and on the nice Jarrah floorboards of their house, and having a great time, but becoming quite dishevelled in the process. I'll continue with this to where I got up to in the southern suburbs down at Waterperry Drive Reserve. I just read that Dr. Berger is staunchly pro-vaccination, but he has railed against authorities on other fronts. Early in the pandemic, he was among those shouting from the rooftops about airborne transmission when the official line was that the virus was spread via droplets. He co-authored a scientific paper on the matter while calling for better personal protective equipment for frontline health workers. And I do just have to check that I'm recording. AMAWA past president Andrew Miller recalled that he and Dr. Berger wrote to authorities requesting appropriate PPE. We were initially rebuffed, ignored and pilloried. told to stay in our lane, Dr. Miller told Australian Doctor magazine. Well, join the club, Dr. Andrew Miller. You're not the only ones. While we ordinary citizens who exercised our right in the recent protests and so on against our abrogation of human rights here in Western Australia over the last couple of years at our rallies in central Perth and so on, we were rebuffed, ignored and pilloried. John Flint, the writer of this particular article, being one of the staunchest antagonists against us. How dare we? How stupid of us? What idiots we were, how dangerous we were, what grandmother and grandfather, granny killers we were for resisting being so-called vaccinated and injected. So, yes, and I have criticised Dr. Andrew Miller in some of my videos in the past also for being, in my opinion, quite disconnected from the reality that was abundantly clear to many of us that the measures he was calling for did more harm than good in the COVID-19 pandemic so-called measures pushed by our Australian government and our state government here in Western Australia. In short, I'm still quoting Dr. Andrew Miller, the government's infection control experts group was spectacularly wrong. Not the only ones, including yourself, Dr. Andrew Miller, at times. Yet, I do understand his, I think, a pretty hard-working, hands-on doctor in his field, and so I don't want to downplay that. Dr. Berger and the rest of us listening to a diverse range of experts around the world were unfortunately right. But people in aged care facilities died without airborne disease protections in place. Now, listening to a diverse range of experts, well, not diverse enough, Dr. Andrew Miller, because if you are listening to all sides of credible, plausible, well-credentialed people, not just the officially approved ones, you would have come away on many fronts with your advice with quite different, a different understanding and quite different advice. You appear to have taken little notice of much of what the Great Barrington Declaration signatories of over 900 odd thousand experts, epidemiologists and scientists and doctors, etc., frontline workers have put their names to, which is focused protection, but no lockdowns, don't mask up people who don't need to be masked up, etc., etc. So quite selective, nevertheless, your diverse range was not diverse enough of experts you were listening to. Dr. Berger also pulled no punches last year in attacking the federal government for failing to procure enough of the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines, instead rolling out the inferior, inverted commas, AstraZeneca vaccine, which I assume is quoting Dr. Berger, which posed more side effects. Well, that's debatable. That is highly debatable. There is a ton of plausible evidence that the where there's one, I mean, AstraZeneca might have, or I'm going off memory now, did it begin to have more heart issues initially, or was not so good for the young, but was less problematic for the old? I don't know, but if you know, it's six of one and half a dozen of another. The COVID-19 injections, the whole range of them, leave an enormous amount to be desired. So we don't know really whether it posed more side effects in terms of what you're getting at is serious side effects. More recently, he has criticised the easing of COVID-19 pandemic predictions and attacked what he and other scientists have called the nonsense of hybrid immunity. Vulnerable people have been hung out to dry, he tweeted. Well, when has that ever been any different? Except vulnerable people. Back to another one of John Flint's articles in this very paper that I critiqued last week. Vulnerable people, he was saying, oh, how callous, extremely callous, to consider certain classes of people in Australia, Western Australia, etc., as dispensable. Well, the dispensable vulnerable classes were those who were more or less hand-to-mouth, those who could not afford to take 1 or 2 years off to let the dust settle and not be coerced into vaccinations to keep their jobs, keep their incomes, keep roof over their heads, to keep food on their children's tables, etc., etc., etc. They're vulnerable people as well. And that's a huge number. It could well be over half the Western Australian population, because the implication here is vulnerable people being, say, aged care and immunocompromised people, etc., etc. But they're not by any means the only ones. He has long believed the main focus should be on reducing transmission, which the vaccines are increasingly less effective at due to virus mutations. I would just say transmission, I think that horse fled the stable long ago. We've got to have our normal social lives to the greatest possible extent. We can't be in space suits and space bubbles, etc., etc. Yes, we should perhaps take some extra care if we're with a very vulnerable person that's at risk, elderly, who if they got cold or flu or pneumonia resulting at the end of it, that could push them over the edge. But we have to carry on as a society and a functioning society, generating wealth and being sociable and doing all the things that human beings normally do. So there's going to be transmission. There's transmission of just about every other imaginable microbe and microbial, and if you can call viruses microbes, I don't believe you can, but that's another story. They're non-living, fancy, big fancy protein molecules, it seems to me, but they're non-living molecules. But anyway, let's include, for the moment, viruses as microbes. We're going to transmit it to one another, left, right and centre. And do I say carte blanche? No, there are some things like if someone's got a sexually transmissible disease, well, better not to be engaging in sexual relations, or take all manner of sensible protections if you do, and all that kind of thing. But I don't mean carte blanche, but the things like the respiratory side, etc., etc., we're all carrying a zillion infective agents all the time. We've got to be able to carry on. We've got to put the focus on boosting our immunity largely through lifestyle and dietary measures and sensible supplements, etc., etc. Never talked about in any of these articles. I'll pause and start again.